Well, should we perhaps move on to Gregor Kosch? Hello, Mr. Kosch.
Ja, vielen Dank.
That's fine with us. Go ahead. You want to tell us a little about the economic situation in Slovenia, right?
I would zu der politischen Situation in Slowenien erzählen, richtig?
Ja, also ich konzentriere mich auf die politische Situation, aber
Capital of Slovenia, Ljubljana, and just to understand the current political situation in Slovenia, I have to make these few steps in the history just to understand where and why we are here now as in the situation we are. So some people might know that in the history, in the relatively recent history, we were part of the country which was called Yugoslavia. And don't worry, I'm not either Tito nostalgic or communism nostalgic. Why I'm bringing this to you, because there we learned some very important values, which were solidarity and comradeship. For example, just to give you a glimpse, the public roads and public institutions were built by the so-called voluntary brigades, youth brigades, and things like that. Also, during the Second World War, Yugoslavia were organized the so-called AVNOJ. And what is that? It was the Anti-Fascist Council for the National Liberation of Yugoslavia. So very close to this, what we are now doing globally against Mr. Global and the pandemic. So we are very close to that. But most importantly, what I would really like to stress about that times were the year 1961, when Yugoslavia, together with 120 states globally, formed the non-alignment movement. And why is that so important? First of all, this is the second largest state union on the world. Only the United Nations has more state members. But most importantly, they found that decision-making power, which is something we are still, we have the lack of this in our movements around the globe. And they were able to position themselves actually at the highest level of the game. And I call this as some kind of old school politics, where they knew what to do, where to do, and how to do it. Now, coming from this to Slovenia, Slovenia was the first country which proclaimed independence in 1991. We only have 2 million inhabitants. We are the only country in the world with word love in our name, and we are very proud of it. Our language has duality, so it's not only singularity and plurality, we have also duality. It's much easier to express love between two living beings. We are proud of this. More recently, I would also like to point out that we were the first country in the whole world where the official minister of the government for the public affairs declared the so-called precautionary principle for the deployment of the 5G technology. Unfortunately, it only lasted for a few weeks because, as Professor Wuzem explained, we had this relatively unexpected end of the government when our previous prime minister went to the World Economic Forum in Davos and came back and said, okay, sorry, I'm not going this game anymore. And then we got this government, which is now. But where exactly are we now? We have, let's say, some kind of apparent independence and some kind of apparent constitution. Why apparent? We think we are independent, but at the same time, in this apparent constitution, it's written that a lot of our sovereignty we have surrendered to, first of all, international organizations, but more importantly, in 2018, to corporations such as the Inter-American Corporation, which is something which we as a people would never agree on if we would be asked.
How did that happen?
It happened almost similarly like this pandemic happened. It was one hidden end of December. They had this public hearing of the parliament, and they said, okay, now we will discuss the agreement with Inter-American Corporation. Nothing about it was ever in the mass media. And at that time, we were, as a citizens, we were not so much awakened that we would see every article and every decision they would like to adopt in the parliament. So they adopted it in the last days of December, and the President of the Republic proclaimed it on 27th of December, where it's very likely that everybody in the so-called normal times was occupied with the Christmas, New Year, with families and everything else. So it did happen.
In 2020?
Yeah, it was in 2018, December 2018. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at that time, they adopted this agreement with the Inter-American Corporation.
What is that? What does it stand for?
Yeah.
Does it mean it was, you're owned by American corporations?
It was exactly, our response was exactly like yours now. What is that and what does it mean to us? And it was very scary when we were starting reading the articles of this agreement, because anything for this corporation has no legal consequences either to the staff of the corporation or the corporation itself, neither in Slovenia nor internationally. They are exempt from any laws, any obligations. They are more VIP than the diplomats used to be. With no particular reason why. Why exactly would this fit to Slovenia? What would be the benefits for Slovenian citizens or Slovenia? Nothing. So just how they are exempt. For example, I believe this is something which happened to the so-called Gates Foundation in Switzerland or something like that. They are exempt from everything. They can come and go whenever. They don't need to pay taxes. They
Full immunity. But who are they?
I have no idea. There is website. It says Inter-American Corporation. They say they are kind of a bank, and then it's only written who are the representatives of each country, and the representative of Slovenia is officially the Minister for Finance and his deputy, and that's it. So it's no public record on what they are doing, why they are doing, what is the purpose of their constitution. Nothing. Zero.
That is very strange.
Yeah, it is very strange, and it's something which already happened to us in 2018. At the beginning, I didn't mention that my field of study were political science, and already in 2009, I wrote the Master of Science thesis on the influence of the pharmaceutical industry on the politics of the US. So I never knew how important this topic would be 10 or 12 or 13 years from that time. But we are now in the very middle of this process. In 2018, when the previous elections were held in Slovenia, we had this political party, which was called For Healthy Society. And even then, we started to promote topics as a freedom of choice for a vaccination and against any obligatory things to us. Unfortunately, we didn't succeed, but it was a test to see how actually to enter to this political system. Why? Why is this important? Because for any of us focusing this political or electoral system, it's like entering the or wanting to open the casino in Las Vegas in 1970s. We just don't have these tools which they have. We don't have this, what they say, like the offer one can't refuse. So this was this pragmatic or optimistic approach. Let's enter into the decision-making process. Let's go there where the decisions are taken. But frankly, what is actually the point? Now, in the political or electoral system, we have political parties. And when the elections are held, we believe that we go on elections to elect a person. But unfortunately, we go to elections to elect the political party, which is definitely something which is not suitable for us and will never represent us in the field of the...
And the political parties, of course, have been stacked with the puppets that the World Economic Forum has chosen for you. It makes perfect sense. This is what's happening all over the world.
And they have the media and the money, yeah. The tools, everything.
But what I don't understand is, yeah. I mean, it is obvious that probably no country is really sovereign, because most of our countries are being totally corrupted by the international global corporations and their owners who are staying in the shades. But it is so blatant. Now you're telling us there's an agreement with an inter-American corporation, which is totally immune. They can do anything they want. Yep. Do they own your country?
I hope not, because as a political science student, I will always believe that country are the citizens, and country can never be a corporation or whatever. And this is something I will probably die fighting for this, and I will always say this. But what we found in the electoral law is something which is now a huge challenge for us, because the next parliamentary elections are scheduled for the end of April this year. And what we found is something which we could call the basis of democracy, because to enter the political and electoral game, we don't need a political party. The law allows us just to form the so-called citizens list. So we on our own can actually nominate people on elections without any need to form the political parties and to enter this game, which they are conducting in their field with their forces of power and everything. So this is exactly now what we are doing for the past year and a half. We are visiting all the towns and cities around Slovenia and presenting this idea, because we believe that this could be a change. Why? Because normally and typically in Slovenia, only 50% of voters attend the elections. So whoever says that he or she wins the elections by, let's say, 20%, it's only 20% out of 50% of voters which goes there. If we rise this to 60, 70, 80, their percent will actually decline to 18, 15, 10. And this is the formula. And this is why it's relatively hard to get people away from the so-called bad habits. They always think, yeah, but you need the political party, you need the president, you need somebody to run it. But on the other hand, they are still waiting for this prince on a white horse who will come and rescue you. Nobody will come.
No one will come.
The change. We are the change. And this is the most difficult part to explain to normal people in normal towns, villages, because they just say, yeah, but who are you? Do you have the money? Do you have the tools? And I said, no, because we don't need it, because we need you. We need all of us to go there and to do the job and outwork them.
So, do people understand this, or are they just sitting there complacently waiting for the next shoe to drop?
It's actually both of them. They come. They are extremely curious. For example, 3 years ago, when we started this debate in public, how to make change, for example, 3 or 4 people would come, and then we would sit, have coffee, and say, where are the others? Now we can fool the halls of the fireplace, the fire homes, and I don't know, cultural places, everything. They are full with people who come and listen. And they are full of enthusiasm, because they are very happy that at least something is going on.
Is this a general feeling in Slovenia that things were better when you still had the state of Yugoslavia?
I wouldn't say general, but it's still there. It's still there. People still remember it. People still like this feeling that you didn't need so much money to feel good, to feel relaxed, to have your freedom. That there were, even then, we were without internal borders. We had one currency. We had one official language and several other languages. So we were EU ages before EU, with internal market, with everything. And that's probably the reason why they collapsed it from abroad. And it's always about the money, and it's always against the good will and the good forces who would like to make some changes.
What happened? I didn't quite understand what you mentioned when you said in 1961, Yugoslavia and I think 160 other states. I think that's the number you mentioned.
120.
What kind of an agreement was that?
It was actually the intergovernmental agreement called Non-Alignment Movement.
Ah, okay.
The short version is NAM, N-A-M. And it was the presidents like Tito, Nehru, Yasser, I don't know, from all, let's say, non-very developed, especially African, South American states, Yugoslavia. And they were actually positioned themselves against the two blocs. So yeah, against the tensions between the U.S. and the former USSR. So, and they formed this non-alignment movement to outvote them in the General Assembly of the United Nations. So it was one of the cleverest things to do because they had all the natural materials, natural resources. They didn't have the money, but they had the mankind, they had the resources, and they used it. And of course, after a while, it was the main target to destroy it. First destroyed, they destroyed Yugoslavia. Subsequently, they destroyed non-alignment movement. They made fun of it like, yeah, it's something like a Tito's playground or Castro's playground or things like that. But actually, again, that was the decision-making power we lack now in the process of fighting the Mr. Global.
Can I ask you this, this person, the president that stepped back after the visit
after,
to Davos?
After he returned from Davos.
So what has happened to him? Has he come out like with criticism, or do you have any further information about his motives?
Look, I studied political science and I have never seen something like this before. He went on one nice sunny Thursday, end of January, to Davos. He came back on Friday morning, and on Monday, he went to the press and said, I'm resigning. So nobody, no analytics, nobody had a clue. Even his closest friends, allies, nobody knew. It was a
complete... What's his name? What's his name?
Now you got me.
Marian Šarec.
Marian Šarec, thank you very much. Yes, sorry. So he used to be a former comedian, an actor. So, but also after this career in the stages, he used to be the mayor of one of the cities in Slovenia. And then all of a sudden he was the chosen one. But I have to say, I believe he is not part of this young globalist program, which you mentioned before, Dr. Fulmich. But there is one rather important person in Slovenia who was part of that program. And she is now the head of the cabinet of the president of the republic. Her name is Alja Brglez. She was part of that globalist program. And also we have to say that our president of the republic, Borut Pahor, when he went for the European parliamentary representative a few years ago, when he came back from Brussels, he was a completely different person. We don't know officially if he entered any globalist, courses or whatever, but we noticed immediately how he changed considerably.
That's really crazy. And but nothing has come out. I mean, since you're a small country, there's no behind the scenes information about the motives of this cabaretist or, you know, comedian or...
Officially, they were just spinning on the bad connections in the coalition, that they are not strong enough and that he would prefer the elections as soon as possible. But what was more important was what happened afterwards, that all of a sudden, this right-wing party president, its coalition was ready immediately. It is, again, something which has never happened before in Slovenia.
Okay, I finally understand what went on. Okay.
It was ready. It was tailor-made. And maybe some of you even remember those first photos of the first session of the new Slovenian government in the March 2020. It was the first government session in the world where all the cabinet ministers wore masks. And that was their first agenda, to make a huge PR. Now we are protecting us, we are protecting you. Don't worry, we will be there for you to fight against the virus and everything. We are here, we are strong, we will do it.
What a bunch of blatant lies.
But again, I have to say, the other side, the so-called left or left-middle parties, they did nothing to end this. They have the tools. They could prevent any time. They could run over it, outvote them. They could buy votes. They know how to buy votes. They did it many times in the...
Well, you know, what this tells us is that the entire system is corrupt.
Completely.
Not just in your country, in all of our countries. That's why it's so important to start a parallel society and have our own system. Everyone agrees on this in the meantime. We shouldn't waste our time on the old system. All of the people who are part of this old system are completely obsolete. Most of them are stupider than hell. Most of them have either no biographies or fake biographies. We shouldn't waste our time with them, but we should use the people who we have on our side, because we have the really good people on our side, yeah, and start with a completely new system, both a holistic or a whole system of education, of judiciary, economics, medicine, et cetera, et cetera. We can do it. And then we can connect with each other, but we have to do it in our regions, in our communities, and disconnect from these global corporations and global NGOs.
I definitely agree fully with what you said, but I would still say something about our elections end of April. Why? Because we were always told we are not big enough for the economy, for the market, we were always too small. And now, to make a change, we are just small enough. And it's much, much easier to perform the change in a small country like with only 2 million inhabitants and not like in systems like Germany or France or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I completely agree not to enter their games in the field of the political parties. But by this tool of the citizens list, we can surprise them there, because actually we don't need the money, we don't need the connections, we don't need anything, and we can come there relatively unexpectedly, only if we awaken enough people to go there and outvote them. So this is basically what we are now advocating for, and where I believe personally that the support of all the partners around the globe, which would mean very much for us, for all of us, basically.
It's the connection. We have to connect with each other, but we have to do everything we can in our own regions, in our own communities.
Exactly.
This is what grassroots democracy is all about. That's why we joined this party here in Germany, whose name is Die Basis, the base. Because that's what it's all about. We have to start setting up our own systems, supply lines, for example, energy supply, agricultural supplies. We have to do it in our regions. And then we can connect with and exchange the best ideas between the separate regions and communities. I think that makes the most sense. Wolfgang.
Yes, hello. I think you have to watch out when you have the elections, because they try to cheat us. They try to establish election systems which they can influence, where they can falsify the results. And you have to choose an election system which is very transparent, where you're counting the votes and everyone can follow this counting. And everyone can follow where the votes come from. So it's very important, because we observe that it's getting more and more intransparent. The more you put it into computers, and the more you do it with the letters sending somewhere and so. So it's in a small country, it's much easier to have a transparent election, and you should pay a lot of attention, I think, to not to be cheated there. So this is the only thing. Thank you very much for your explanations, and I enjoyed it very much. I listened all the time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we have to, because we're under a lot of pressure, we have to let you go now, because Robin Minotti has been waiting. we have to listen to what he has to tell us. It's a completely different view of what we're seeing, or maybe not so different. So thank you very much, Mr. Koz and Tiasha. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
All right.
Dankeschön. Vielen Dank. Thank you.
Yes.
Bye.